right, folks, we're back again. And this time, we're reviewing Glynn Stewart's Starship Mage, the whole series. Not just one book, all the series. And with me is Ritu Lalit. I'm Ishan Lalit. Just to remind you, we are available on YouTube, Audioboom, and iTunes. So let's get to the review, shall we?
Yeah. Hi, people.
So I like this series. I like this series quite a lot. I picked it up just out of the blue. I just picked it up, you know, and I recommended it to her. It didn't make any sense to pick up a book with space and mage at a point of time, but then I read it. It was amazing. The first book starts with Damien Montgomery just being a mage trying to basically jump. What do they do? They jump into space. So they go into space, and how they can do faster than light travel is through the help of
these magic, of course.
These mages. Yeah.
Magic. The magic is very specific. You are either a combat mage, or you are a jump mage, or you are a medicinal mage.
Healers are dime a dozen. Huh? Healers are dime a dozen.
Healers are there, then there are combat mages. Then it's a mix of science and magic. The entire spaceship is built on science. And they're all, you know, they've got their own personal computers, which are on their wrist.
Futuristic.
Very futuristic. But in the center of the starship, there is a place where there is a liquid silver replica of the starship. And the mage is supposed to concentrate on it and jump a person one light year at a time. And it's about 4 or 5 light years that he has to jump.
I like the first book. I liked the fact that it was intense. I also like the fact that this... Okay.
He's late teens, early 20s, no? So it has to be intense.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think the only way... it is intense because a lot of other planets and the other ways come into the work, and you never know where this is going. It just keeps you off kilter, you know, just about off kilter.
I like the... Funnily enough, the description was all about technology, about magic. And the looks of the people, the clothes they wear, was not described. But I did not miss it until I sat down and started reviewing the book mentally in my mind.
You know, come to think of it, you're right. You're absolutely right. That detailing wasn't there.
The detailing is all on the magic, on the starship, on the personal computers, and all. You don't know whether this guy is white, brown, black.
No, he's white. He's definitely white. Damien Montgomery.
Yeah, okay. But then futuristic.
No, they explain it. And like, he grows a mustache. The first book, he has a mustache. And... with the stark trust of his pale face. He does.
Yeah, pale. Spacers are all pale.
Face, I said face.
Yeah, spacers are supposed to be pale. It's something to do with travel at the speed of light.
No, that doesn't mean there are no black mages.
No, there are black mages.
So?
But it wasn't like that detailing wasn't so particular. And you have these pirates... What do they look like?
So basically, winding down the point. So basically, these guys are mages, and he's a mage. He gets on a ship, and they come to they basically interact with pirates. They they get sucked into some espionage. They get. It's a mess.
I know they go shipping people to other planets.
They go to the frontier to escape the law because he's broken a mage law, which we will not get into. It's a spoiler. So, then, and it ends with him coming together with the mage king of Mars.
Yeah, let's explain this to you, that there is a kingdom of planets. We don't do things a small scale in this book, right? There is a kingdom of planets.
All ruled by the mage king
of Mars.
Because the mages can only transport people from one place to the other. So they hold the affiliation to the mage king of Mars.
Uh-huh.
And there is a hand.
There are plenty of hands.
Okay, so there is a... Hands are basically the commanders of the Mage King of Mars pursuing him.
The traveling judges and...
executioners.
Executioners of the king.
Yeah. So that winds down like... Okay, so now the second book is Hand of Mars. Again, we have explained to you the thing, but this time... He has been trained and is in action. He's trying to put down a revolution. No, he's not. He's come over there to put down the revolution, but...
But the revolution are the good guys and the bad guys are the guys in power and all that kind of thing. You know, it's all very twisty-turvy. It's very gritty. It's like real world.
Yeah, and... In this one, I saw the detailing coming in. In this one, they did explain what the revolutionaries wore, what the civilians were like, and what the regent of the planet or whatever he's like. So, and
here,
his right hand.
Here, there was a bit of detailing. Again, the detailing was saved for the. What Glyn Stewart considers important, the technology, the magic, and of course the planet. I like the small touches he gives, you know, like the ocean is purple. Okay, the trees are pink. I like that. And the best thing I like is the characterization of Damien Montgomery.
You know... Yeah, I agree. But I think the second book is the weakest of the series. For me, the second book was the weakest of the series.
It was a lot of politics and less of space travel, probably that's why.
No, it showed the growing up of Damien Montgomery.
Yes.
But it did not,
There's no personal touch.
Yes, it showed the growing up of Damien Montgomery. It shows how powerful he's becoming. But there was no hook to just trap me in. Having said that, I enjoyed this book. I enjoyed this book.
They're entertaining books.
Yeah, I enjoyed this book. But compared to the other books, I felt this one was...
You know, that itself is a compliment for the books because you think compared to the other books of in the series and you're not comparing to some other book. This is a very, listener, this is a very unique kind of a series.
Viewers, listeners, whatever, people.
People.
The third book, Starship Mage 3, Voice of Mars. This is where I absolutely fell in love with the series. Till this time, you know, we've read quite a lot of books. We've written a few of them, so we look at them slightly differently. But this one just blew my mind. He goes back home. There's a intergalactic war going to happen. Not an intergalactic, well, space war going to happen between two colonies of humans, and he's the one putting it down. There's always the backdrop of somebody trying to F with a kingdom. Okay, somebody, which is not explained, but it comes into action here more the underlying storyline becomes the focus, which is keeping us baited. And the relationship between him and his former girlfriend just shows how different he is now and how...
Yes.
And what he is like. The mustache is gone. The geekiness is gone. He is
just one powerful, badass mage who doesn't know his limits.
Yeah, and he goes like, I'm the hand of the Mage King of Mars, and I will, and you will listen to me.
I will be listened to.
Yeah.
I love that line.
And he just grows on you so much in this book.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. I quite like the little touches the author has given, like the Mage King of Mars has a 13-year-old daughter.
Who has a crush on him.
Who has a crush on him. And he thinks it's wiser to skip the planet. Put a few planets in between. No,
put a few solar systems in
between. In between them.
Yeah.
That comes in the second book. I liked it.
The third book, he's again running away from Mars.
He's running away from everything. The moment he gets into this clinch with his former girlfriend, Old Flame, he decides that he's going to skip planet again.
Yeah, it's his... Yeah, he is. Okay, Starship's Mage 4. The most recent one. It just came out about a month or two back. Okay, Alien Arcana. Here, he has no choice but to return to Mars.
Yes.
And
this is the most powerful book of the series.
Funny enough, people call it the weakest among of the series.
No, I liked it because suddenly things are coming together.
There's a conspiracy going on and he has to fight it.
It involves enemy within, which is very makes the angle very interesting. Up till now, it was, you fight between the mages and the mundane.
Yeah, and he has to beat other mages, other hands. There is definitely a hand at work who's fighting against the kingdom.
The only issue I have with this book is the politics of the court has not been, explained too much.
What do you mean by that?
When you're doing court, you have to do a lot of hidden motives. You have to do a lot of betrayals. You have to do a lot of to and fro's, misdirection and all that kind of thing. Probably the author himself is too straightforward in his thinking to do that.
Okay. One of the criticisms I read about this book was that he just... Damien Montgomery just keeps going and doesn't listen to answers, doesn't act when people are trying to tell him not to do something. He doesn't ask why. He just goes ahead and keeps beating everybody with a club, sort of. Okay.
So he totally does.
Yeah, and so things are not coming to head. Okay, so that's the criticism I kind of agree with, but I understand. It's not in his character to do things that way. He will listen to you after
he gets his head bashed in. Yes.
Yeah, he will listen. No, not his head bashed in. After he will hit you with everything. And now he's one of those guys who will beat you on the head and then say, now tell me why did you do that? That was really stupid. So I do agree with that criticism, but I do understand that the character is not built that way.
And the intrigue is not satisfying.
The intrigue is not satisfying?
Yes, when you have an enemy within.
Yes, there is that suspenseful thriller did not come. But the action sequences were amazing. I like this book, but...
I like this more than the second one,
but lesser than the first one. And the first one is the second best of the series.
Yeah, this is the book, the last one up till now, is the book where the plot thickens. But doesn't come to because
he didn't listen or say, even when they kidnapped somebody to get him to talk to them, he didn't listen. And even the guy went like, well, I know what it's like going to a war, going to war with a hand. So, bye-bye. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. And that wasn't fun.
But I don't think, you know, the intrigue, I think the next books will deliver. But this one had a bit of it, but the character is not built that way. He always needs somebody. This book, his bodyguard, the crazy chick, his bodyguard, wasn't there. So she's the one who usually makes him listen.
Yeah.
And she ran away. She fell in love
with a politician, for God's sake. Politicians.
Yeah. So let's see where the series goes. How would you rate the series? How would you, rate the series?
The series gets a resounding 4 from me.
I agree. I'll just add a 0.5 to it. I just like it a little more.
You would. That boy. Damien Montgomery, oh my God. He's so much of a man's man.
Yeah, I would... No, he's not. And there are places where I go like... Anyhow, because I do, you know, watch a whole lot of mixed martial arts and a lot of sports. I know what men are like. So I do... He's a bit off-kilter. Yeah. He's a bit crazy. He's fun. And the series is absolutely fun. I would recommend anybody this series. You know, you guys go, you read it, listen to it, whatever. Reminding you, this show is available on YouTube, Audioboom, and iTunes. So you can catch a content anywhere you like. That's Ritu Lalit.
Hi.
I'm Ishan Lalit. And bye-bye.
Bye, people.